Welcome to Live with Lon. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year celebration. And here we are in the beginning of 2024, getting ready to continue to be students of the Word of God and followers of the author of the Word of God, the living Lord Jesus himself. So, are you ready? All right, let's pray and we'll dig in. Dear Lord Jesus, use your word in our life today to encourage us, to bring us hope, to instruct us, to teach us, to challenge us, to bring us comfort, to do all those things, Lord Jesus. Make the word of God a powerful force in our life today. And we commit our time in the scripture to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody, what do we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries? Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. Come on. Nothing but the Bible. And then what do? We apply it to our life. Right. And what Bible do we use? We use the New King James Version of the Bible. I've got a place mark in here. That's why that's there. That I'm going to turn to in a few minutes. Okay. So, we are in Matthew chapter 22. We're ready to finish that chapter today. And remember that Jesus is in Jerusalem for the last week of his earthly life, and he has been sparring with the rabbis, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the scribes, as they've tried to capture him, trap him, in saying something by which they could discredit him, or by which they could report him to the Romans and have him killed. So Jesus has successfully defeated all of those attempts in his incredible wisdom as God. And now we're ready at the very end of the chapter to watch what he does to them. Okay. So here we go. We're going to pick up in verse 41 of chapter 22. And while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. Now remember, they've been asking him all these questions, and he's been answering them. And now Jesus says, okay, fellas, now that you don't want to ask me any more questions, I have one for you. It's my turn. I got one for you guys. Ready? Here it goes. Saying, verse 42, what do you think about the Christ? And Christos in Greek simply means the anointed one, which is the translation of the word in Hebrew, Mashiach, which is our word Messiah, the anointed one. What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. Now, this didn't take them any time at all to answer. They knew the answer to this question because for centuries, it's been clearly understood that the Messiah was going to be a descendant of King David. God made this clear in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Look. He said, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come from your own body, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And so the words Son of David as a title became synonymous in the Jewish mind for Messiah. Messiah, the Son of David. Son of David equals Messiah. That's how it was. Hosanna to the Son of David. Isn't that what they said at the triumphal entry? Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, he wasn't the exact Son of David. That isn't what they meant. They meant Hosanna to the Messiah, who, of course, also was a descendant of David. So, when Jesus asked him the question, they said, oh, baby, ask us something hard. Whose son is the Messiah? He's the son of David. Piece of cake. Jesus said, okay. So then, let me ask you a follow-up question. And here's his follow-up question. Well, he said to them, verse 43, how then does David in the Spirit call him the Messiah Lord? Notice here in Psalm 110, where the verse of that Jesus is about to quote comes from, a messianic psalm. All the Jews agreed with that at the time of Christ. But would you notice he says David said this in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Once again, see how Jesus saw the Bible. David wrote it, David said it, but it was by the Spirit that it was said. This is inspiration. God wrote it through people. But God is the true author. Okay, I just wanted to point that out. Not a sermon, just thought. Okay, now, how then does David, by the Spirit, call the Messiah Lord, saying, Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This is an exact quote from Psalm 110, verse 1. Now look, very interesting. Don't know if you ever noticed this, but in a reputable translation of the Bible, there will be a distinction made between two words that are translated Lord and that refer to God. The first word is the word Jehovah, or Yahweh, the tetragrammaton, Yod, He, Vav, He, four letters in Hebrew, which, as best we can figure out, means I am, coming from the burning bush passage. I am what I am, God says to Moses. You tell him, I am sent you. And Yahweh, these four letters, is simply the third person of the verb to be. Not I am, God speaking from the burning bush, but he is someone referring to God. He is. I am, but we call him he is. You with me? Same verb, just change in person from first to third. So that's what, we don't know for sure how it was pronounced, because the Jews stopped saying this word because they were afraid it was so holy they weren't allowed to actually say it. So we've lost the pronunciation, but it means he is. Coming out of the burning bush passage, I am. Okay, now, every time that word is used in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the translators, if they're doing a good job, will indicate it by capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Do you see that here in your Bible? Hopefully you do. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means we're talking about the word Yahweh. We're talking about the word Jehovah, which is a Latinized form of Yahweh. Okay? Now, the second word in that sentence, the Lord said to my Lord, is capital L, little O, little R, little D. It still refers to God. Throughout the Bible, capital L, little O, R, D, refers to God as well, but it's the word Adon in Hebrew. Adon means master. Adon means my superior. Adon means my your boss, in a sense, but not so much your boss on the human level, but your master, your superior, your lord. Okay, but because the Jewish people were so reticent to use Yahweh and in referring to God sometimes, they substituted also the word Adon, which doesn't have to mean God. I mean, your boss could be your Adon. In fact, Sarah called her husband her Adon, her Lord. Peter refers to this. I'm not saying a word. I'm not stupid. No more comment on that. But she referred to him as her Lord, using the word Adon. No one ever uses the word Yahweh, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, to refer to a human being. But the word Adon could be either a human being, or it could refer to God himself. Depends on the context, okay? Here, in Psalm 110, it obviously is referring to God. David called the Messiah his Lord. Well, David was the king. So it certainly doesn't mean David's superior, because in Israel there was no superior on the human level to David. He was the king. So the Lord, when he calls him my Lord, he's obviously referring to God, to the Godhead. So here we have the Lord, Yahweh, said to my Lord, Adon, still God, because he's David's Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, because this was a messianic psalm, everybody understood that this was God, the Father, talking to the Messiah, right? The Messiah, David calls the Messiah his Lord. Okay, were you with me? Okay. If David then calls him, remember the question is, whose son is the Messiah? That was what started this. If then David calls him, the Messiah, Lord, how is he, the Messiah, his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. They didn't want to get into another sparring match with him. They'll get defeated. But the question is very interesting. If David called the Messiah his Lord, then how in the world can he be his son? Because remember, they had said he's the son of David. Now look, if you've got children, when was the last time you called your children Lord? Your child wants milk. Yes, Lord. Your child wants a toy. Yes, Lord. Your child wants to be taken somewhere in the car. Yes, Lord. Your child doesn't want to go to bed yet. Yes, Lord. You do that? You call your child Lord? Well, not if you got any sense, you know. I mean, every once in a while, when I was raising my boys, they got this a little confused. And they thought that I ought to treat them like my Lord, like they were my Lord. But we got that straightened out real quick. No, nobody does that if they're in their right mind. So why would David call his son his Lord? If the Messiah is his son, then why in the world would David call him his Lord? Do you understand the question? How can that be? You don't call your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren Lord. What is going on here, Jesus says to them. They didn't have an answer. I'm sure they probably never even really thought about it. But it's a completely legitimate question. And he stumped them, and away they went. Shall we answer the question? Hey, we know the answer as Bible-believing Christians in the New Testament. What's the answer? Well, the answer, of course, is that the Messiah has a dual nature. The Messiah has a human nature, and he has a divine nature, because he's God wrapped in human flesh. So, in his human nature, he is a human descendant of King David. In his divine nature, he is God and therefore he is David's Lord. He is David's son in his human character. He is David's Lord in his divine character. Are you with me? This is all about the dual nature of Christ. Now, we understand that today because we have the revelation of the New Testament to help us understand that. But the rabbis didn't have that, and they were completely stumped. Okay, now you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Now, that's the end of our passage, but I want us to ask our most important question. Here it is. Are you ready? Come on. One, two, three. So what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And in a new year, what do we say? We say, how sweet it is, baby. Yes, you bet. All right. Now, what is it I want us to take home from this passage today? Well, it's exciting, isn't it, just to see the dual nature of Christ in the Old Testament so clearly laid out that we can see it without any problem whatsoever. Yahweh said to my Lord, David says. Okay. My son? Yes. My Lord, yes, because he's the God-man. And as God, he's David's Lord, and as man, he's David's son. But what do I want you to take home from this today? Well, what I want to focus on more in the second half of our message is the rest of the verse from Psalm 110. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now, the right hand of a person was considered the seat of greatest honor. Do you remember when James and John came to Jesus and they said, we would like to ask you a favor? And their mother came once and did this. We would like you to put one of us on your right hand and one of us on your left hand. And Jesus said, that's not my prerogative to make that decision. But what was the right hand? The right hand was the most honored place that you could put someone at your right hand. And so Jesus sits at the right hand of God, the most honored place in all of heaven, the right hand of God the Father. And it is interesting to me when I began looking at it. Look at all these places. If you can see my list, look at this. Can you see my list? Look at all these places in the New Testament where the Bible refers to Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Frankly, right off the top of my head, I didn't honestly remember that there were this many places. So let me show you some. We'll put the verses on the screen. Matthew 26. Verse 64, Jesus said to the high priest when they were trying him after he had been arrested, Jesus said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man, meaning himself, sitting at the right hand of the power of God and coming on the clouds of heaven, meaning at his second coming. So he says this to the high priest. Now, look in Mark chapter 16. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, this is after the resurrection, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 33. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Verse 33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured this out on us, as you see this day. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says that God raised Jesus up from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. When he had purged our sins by himself, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 13, chapter 1 of Hebrews. But to which of the angels has God ever said, and he hasn't, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? A direct quote from Psalm 110. And we could go on and on and on. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22 says, Jesus has gone on into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. And that's just some of them. I didn't read them all. It's all through the New Testament. Wow. I realized how pervasive it was till I started actually looking them all up and putting them together on a piece of paper. Now, there is one interesting one, and I don't have an answer for this. I'll tell you ahead of time. But this is in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, of course, is stoned for his faith. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, they got up and were ready to stone Stephen. And it says in verse 55, but he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus. Look at the next word. Look at this. Standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out in a loud voice, the Jews did, and started stoning him. This is the only place in the Bible where Jesus is standing at the right hand of God, not sitting at the right hand of God. You say, Lon, what does that mean? I don't know. What great significance must this have, the difference between standing and sitting? I don't know. Well, how do you explain this clear change in Jesus' posture? I don't know. Friends, I don't have the slightest idea what the significant difference between sitting and standing at the right hand of God means. But I just thought I'd point that out to you because I noticed it, and I am somewhat amazed at it, but I don't have the slightest idea what the significance might be. Now, you say, this is what you want us to take home today, that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. No. What I want you to take home today is what Jesus is doing while he's sitting or standing at the right hand of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Meaning those of us who are Christians. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? If God justifies, who can condemn us? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, there we go, watch, who also makes intercession for us. What's Jesus doing at the right hand of God? Well, among other things, I don't know everything he might be doing, but among other things, he's making intercession for you and for me as his followers here on earth. What does intercession mean? Interceding for somebody means inter means between, and cedo means to go, So he is going between, interceding between God the Father and us, interceding. He is being our go-between between God the Father and us, our advocate, if you will, advocating for us before God the Father. Now, I don't know all that that means, but I know it means that we have an advocate with the Father. The Bible says that. Jesus Christ. And so when we make a mistake, when we mess up, when we've really blown it, when we have disgraced ourselves or the Lord or whatever, and we have really dropped the ball, Jesus intercedes for us with the Father and says, now, Father, I know Lon really dropped the ball here, but remember, he's covered by my blood. I died to pay for this sin that he just committed. So please, don't see the sin. Put it behind my blood, and Lord, have mercy on him. Wow. He's also there interceding when we're in pain and we're in heartache and we're going through tough times, interceding and going, now, Father, Lon really needs help. He really needs grace. He really needs assistance. He really needs you to give him solace. He really needs you to give him strength. He really needs you to give him stamina. Lord, please show him grace and strength. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking you to do this for him. Wow. No matter what it is we need, Jesus is there carrying our case to the Father, petitioning the Father for mercy and grace and compassion and understanding and long-suffering and patience and benevolence for us. Petitioning the Father for that on our behalf. Wow. And it could be even in small things. I know you've heard me talk about parking spaces and lost keys and stuff. I mean, I pray about everything. And I know it probably sounds silly to have Jesus, to think about Jesus going to the Father and saying, now, Father, on behalf of Lon, could you please open a parking space for him? Please, could you please help him find those keys that he can't find, please? But I think he does that. Just recently, I really thought it was important to get my daughter Jill a COVID booster. But I didn't want to give her, this is just my conviction, I didn't want to give her the mRNA boosters, the Moderna or the Pfizer. But I wanted to give her the new Novavax, which, as you know, I hope, is made more like the traditional flu vaccine and uses the dead virus, and it's much more benign in its impact and much made by a much more tested regimen. Okay, I don't want to get sued or anything here, but that was just my opinion. But I couldn't find Novavax anywhere here in Northern Virginia. I mean, I looked, I called my pharmacy, I called another pharmacy. They just didn't have it. And I was worried about Jill because COVID's starting to go around, and I was worried. So I started praying. And I had my good friend Marissa. Shout out to you, Marissa. I love you, girl. Marissa's one of my buddies from my McLean Bible Church days. She's in a wheelchair. If I had 1,000 Marissas in a congregation, we could rip Washington up with the gospel. She is amazing, the most outspoken, wonderful witness for the Lord. Shout out to you, Marissa. I love you. And she was praying with me and asking me every day, did we find the vaccine yet? And I was saying, Lord, you know there's got to be some of that vaccine around somewhere. And I'm just praying and asking you, Lord, to please help me locate a shot for Jilly Bean, for Jill, that's what I call her, for Jill. Please, Lord. Well, isn't it wonderful to know I had my Savior right there at the right hand of God saying, on my behalf, now, Father, I'd like to carry this petition to you and be the go-between. Lord, could you please direct a vial of that Novavax to some pharmacy where Lon has left his name and number, and or help him to find it somewhere, Lord, please, for Jill? Okay, you know what? Praise the Lord. It took me a little while. It was a few weeks, but God the Father answered Jesus' intercession on my behalf. But isn't it wonderful to know you're not, it's just not you coming to God? This was the great message of the Reformation, is you don't have to go through an intermediary here on earth, like a priest or anything. You can go directly to God with your concerns. Yeah, but you know what? I want to go through an intermediary to God. I just don't want the intermediary to be a human being. I want the intermediary to be the living Christ sitting at the right hand of God. You with me? I'm happy to have him be my intermediary. I'm happy to have him be my intercessor and my advocate. Yeah, baby. Absolutely. Isn't it wonderful to know when you pray, you're not going directly to God just by yourself, but you also have your intercessor there going to God on your behalf. And your intercessor is the risen Christ, the Son of God, the Son of glory. Wow. Wow. How about that? Now, I should point out, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, the Holy Spirit. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So, we don't just have the Lord Jesus being our intercessor, we also have the Holy Spirit being our intercessor. Hey, how great is it to be a child of God? So, just remember, this is what I want you to take home. When you pray, it's not just you going to God with your request. It's the living Christ and the Holy Spirit going to God also, bearing your request and being your go-between and beseeching God the Father for his mercy and his intervention on your behalf. Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for God the Holy Spirit and God the Son being our intercessors with God. And thank you for the Lord Jesus himself seated right at the God the Father's right hand, who willingly and lovingly and anxiously takes our prayer needs and acts as our go-between, acts as our advocate with the Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for that ministry you do for us. And thank you, Father, that you will never tell your Son no, that you will always answer his intercessions on our behalf. And you may not give us exactly our prayers the way we ask them, but you will always do even better than what we asked in your wisdom. So, Lord Jesus, thank you that you're at the right hand of God. and thank you for your ministry there on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Man, if you're a believer and you can't get excited about God the Son being your go-between, intercessor, prayer warrior with God, baby, I don't know what you can get excited about. I hope you're excited about that. Isn't that great? You're never alone when you're praying. You got your intercessor right there with you at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Lord willing, see you next week. God bless.